I could not have lined up a better song, Miss Linda, for what the Lord has for me, I believe, to convey to you sweet people here this morning. Now, I want to say this. I know that you have already heard the name of Jesus this morning, but my prayer is before you leave here today that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life before you leave here today. Not just his name, not just that he was a good man that lived a long time ago, but who he is. Amen. Lord and Savior of your life, and can be if you will allow him. Let's read in verse number 12. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Amen. Heavenly Father, I need you this morning. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. I need your instruction. Father, you took just an old, worthless, no good sinner. And Lord, you've placed me in this pulpit to preach to people who have spiritual needs. Lord, I look out over this crowd and I see the complexity of needs that are in this building this morning. And I don't know how you're going to use your word to minister to their hearts, but I have faith, Lord, that you will take your word and you will apply it where it needs to go through your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, I also have faith that you will work a miracle this morning in someone's life. I'm asking you, Lord, to work mightily and move mightily. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise because, Lord, you are truly worthy of it all. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Here in these verses in John chapter number 1, the Apostle John is giving us, if you will, the formula for what we call being born again. Now, the reason that we call it being born again is because that's what Jesus calls it in his interaction with a man named Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. I want to read to you just a few verses from John 3, and then we'll get back to that. But I believe in establishing what we're talking about here, and it needs to be looked at very carefully. I don't know if you guys know this, but the best interpretation for Scripture is Scripture. Amen. And so the best way that we can analyze and look at Scripture is to look at Scripture in other places. And in John chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse 3 that Jesus answered, and that's Nicodemus is who he's talking with, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, of course, this spurred a question in the mind of this adult man, Nicodemus, who was a leader in the court of Sanhedrin. He was an educated man. He was a rule follower. He was a law follower. He did everything right to the T. I mean, if there was one law that he didn't follow, then that would make all of them void. So his appearance was that he followed all the laws and did everything right in his life. And yet this man who followed all the rules, did everything right, paid all the ultimate cost, I guess you could say, in living a right life, this man still needed to be born again. And so the question that is spurred from this interaction that he has with Jesus, Nicodemus saith unto him in verse number 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That simply put, unless you've been physically born and spiritually born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, let alone the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen right there. And the verse goes on in verse number 6, and it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. In John 3, Jesus differentiates between the natural birth and the spiritual birth. He also shows us the result of being born again, and that is entrance into and becoming part of the kingdom of God. This is the formula that I'm talking about here, going back to chapter number 1. He gives us the formula of what I just read to you in John 3 in three little words here in verse number 12 of John chapter number 1. And so those words, they're actually verbs. They are the word believe, receive, and become. Now, I just put them in their chronological order, how that they should go, and if I can read that to you again, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In physical birth, humans do their part, but it is God that performs the miracle in the mother's womb. Likewise, in spiritual birth, we believe the gospel, we receive the gift of God, but God performs the miracle of the word become. He gives us spiritual life, divine life, eternal life, and all of that is imparted through and by Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. If you are born again, you are born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, why is the blood so important? Did you know that a child gets their blood from the father? A woman can carry a child in her womb, and that baby be birthed out of her body, and the child's blood and the mother's blood will never intermingle. Isn't that an amazing thing, how that God created that to work that way? And thank God the blood that was placed in Mary's womb, the seed that was placed in Mary's womb was not just any blood. It wasn't Joseph's blood. It was the Father's blood after Mary was overshadowed by God the Spirit. Amen. And she birthed that child into the world. Her blood never intermingled with his blood. His blood was pure. His life was pure. His life was sinless. This is Jesus that I'm speaking about here. And so in spiritual birth, everything that we receive is received from God the Father when it is given to us. It is imparted to us through God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel is this. You hear that? That's a buzzword that we hear a lot in churches. And thank God for the gospel, amen. And I hope that as I tell you in just a moment what the gospel is, that perhaps even while you're sitting here under the sound of my voice, while I'm preaching, that the gospel will change your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you need more than what you have. Maybe you're here this morning and you cannot get out of whatever it is that you're in, and you need freedom, you need help, you need salvation. You've tried everything. Maybe you've tried alcohol. I don't know. Maybe you've tried drugs. Maybe you've tried pornography. Maybe you've tried every sinful vice that's out there. And for whatever reason, you can't get away from it. And you can't get out of it. The Bible says that those that are in Christ, they're free. Not only are they free, but they're free indeed. Amen. You're set free. You're no longer bound by all the junk that holds you down. Every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you. There is freedom in this being born again. So what is the gospel, Pastor Josh? What is the gospel? The gospel is very simply this, and might I say this too, the gospel is enough to lure you in. And when you exalt the Word of God, if you don't think exalting the Word of God works in churches, look around you. To my knowledge, we've not sent out any gimmicks this morning. And I don't know who all's watching online. Thank you for being here with us. Amen. But the gospel is simply that Jesus Christ was God
in the flesh, and he was born of a virgin birth. He lived a perfect, sinless life, even performing miracles and healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, casting out demons, and raising individuals from death. He was persecuted, beaten, and murdered in an event we know as the crucifixion. And after his physical death, 3 days went by, and he arose from the dead of his own power and ability. And this is known as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody went in there and got him out. Nobody told him what time it was and that he needed to wake up. Jesus, of his own power, God in the flesh, arose from the dead. The old hymn says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Those old officers there at his tomb, they couldn't understand what happened. They fell as dead men when the earth began to shake and that stone was rolled away, and Jesus walked out of that tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Now let me say this to you. If you can believe what I just told you, if you are believing what I just told you, according to the Bible, you are well on your way to being right with God. See, there's another part to this verse. Y'all okay? I've been studying and I've been praying. Matter of fact, last Sunday night I kind of wanted to preach verse number 12, and I didn't have any liberty to preach verse number 12 last Sunday night, and so here we are Sunday morning. Amen. I know this is Easter. I know we're supposed to preach an Easter message, but I don't know what could be more Easter than somebody getting saved. Amen. What about if you was to get resurrected from your old dead life of sin and walk in the newness of life this morning? In faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. There is no work you can do. There is no ability you have. There is no strength you can give. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. The book of Acts even records that Jesus ascended into heaven, where he currently is making intercession for us. Do you believe this? Will you receive him? I mean, will you relinquish control of your life and say, Lord, I believe that you raised from the dead, and now I confess you as Lord of my life. This is the reception of the Lord, you receiving him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, our verse is not in the chronological order that we typically think of, but the second time or the second place where it's mentioned, as many as believe. You've got to believe that before you can receive that. You must believe on his name, the name of Jesus. Now, God declared this in Matthew 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. To believe on the name of Jesus is to believe all that his name signifies. It is to believe that Jesus can save you from your sins. It presupposes that you understand and that you know that you are a sinner in need of salvation. The happiest day of my life was when I realized that I was lost and undone without Jesus. When I knew that I did not know what it was to be saved. And thank God for my sweet mama who showed me what it meant to be saved, what it meant to be born again. Mamas and daddies, y'all got an important job. I got born again because I realized Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, what you see standing before you this morning is a guy with a pink tie and a navy suit and a blue shirt. You see the polished, or at least the best I can do to get it polished, amen? But God sees my heart. God saw my heart in the condition that I was in. God saw what I was and who I was and how I was, and He knew me in my sinful condition that I was in, and even in that condition, He loved me enough to die on the cross for me. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us in my sinful condition, in the way that I was. Then Christ gave His love to me in the heartache and disappointment that I was to Him. He still loved me. Maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking, oh, preacher, I'm just a disappointment to God. I'm a disappointment to people. I'm a disappointment to my parents. Thank God there is life after disappointment. Yes. Failure is not final. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, but I know the forgiven blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what He has the power and the ability to forgive, because I know who I am and I know what I am and I know what Jesus did for me. Amen. And I have Scripture that shows me that Jesus loves me. This I know. Amen. For my Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Do you understand that? I know it's a children's song, but oh, friend of mine, I am weak with God. I am not strong with God like you may suppose. I am weak with God, and yet He still loves me and gives me His strength when I need it. Yes. He will do the same for you. He will do the same for you. It is a great step to arrive at the point where you believe in His name, but that in itself does not put you in the family of God. The second part of this equation, this verse, and it's stated first because it's of the primary importance, and that is to receive Him. The Bible says that it is as to as many as received Him that He imparts this new life. It is not enough to just simply believe that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that the devils believe and do tremble. Wouldn't it be heartbreaking to go all through life having a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and never having a heart knowledge of Him, never knowing Him personally, never knowing Him as Lord and Savior of your life, all the while believing, yes, Jesus is Savior. You are no different than the Muslim that believes Him a good prophet. You are no different than the others who proclaim that, yes, He was a good man, and yes, He was a historical character. Friend of mine, I said it like this the other night. I can take a $100 bill, and I can put it in my hand and walk down to you, and I can lay that $100 bill out in my hand, but unless you reach out your hand, place that $100 bill in your hand, put it in your hand, put it in your pocket, it will never become your gift. Friend of mine, you may believe, but if you never receive, you are dangerously close to hell this morning. You can have all the head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but if your heart is not right and you have not received Him in your heart, you are lost and undone without the Lord Jesus, and you are in need of a Savior today. The Bible teaches us that it's to those who receive Him that He gave salvation, and they become, as the Bible says, God performs the miracle and we become a child of God. He, as I've said, imparts new life to us, and the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells inside of the human spirit, and it brings with it the life of God, and the life-giving power of God flows in, and it regenerates us, and we have life from above, and we share the divine nature with the Lord Jesus Christ. We become children of God. Did you know, and do you realize this morning, that there is a difference between the creation of God and the child of God? We have, all of us are created. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in His image, and thank God for that. But friend of mine, you may be the creation and not the child. There are other children that are running around here in our congregation. I have three here that are running around. Well, one's grown now, but I got two that are still under the age of 18, and they're running around here. And thank God these other children that are in here, they are God's creation. They are created by other parents, but they are not my children.
You must be born again.
Amen. Yeah.
You must be born into the family of God. It's not something that I can do for you. Verse number 13 gives us something. I do want to say something else real quick before I go into verse number 13. I said to you a moment ago that the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells inside of you. We have a witness inside of us that dwells inside our heart, that reproves us, that shows us, even after that we are saved, it shows us our sin. Even at, just because you get saved doesn't mean that you're going to stop being a sinner. It means that your sin is forgiven. God has the power and the ability to forgive you. Now let's talk about that just for a moment. Forgiveness. There's some folks that grab hold grudge, and they will hold that grudge till the day they die. And you sit there in your stinking pride and talk about being right with God, and you got a grudge the size of Texas in your heart. Friend of mine, God ain't around that. He ain't nowhere near that, and you ought to get your heart right with God. You hold on to unforgiveness in your heart. The Bible says if we won't forgive, neither will our Father forgive us in heaven. You need to get rid of these stinking grudges. You ain't got to go far to find a grudge. You get on Facebook, you can find 10 grudges in 5 minutes. Somebody say amen right there. We've had an argument going on around in Christianity for the past week over something that don't stinking matter.
Right. Amen. Amen.
People taking stances and dividing doctrine and getting in trouble over something that don't matter a hill of beans. It don't matter. Our version of American Christianity is the greatest opponent to pay. I'm an equal opportunity preacher. You get around with everybody. Amen. Modern American Christianity is the biggest opponent to the church today. We got plenty of people that know that they're right and they ain't budging, and they don't care what the Word of God says. Okay, I'm right about this, by golly, I'm gonna stick with it. Well, you sit there in your rightness and let somebody die and fall off into hell because you wanted to be right. This business of forgiveness is not so that you can release the other person. Forgiveness is so that you can release yourself. Oh, how we need forgiveness in our heart and in our life. I learned early on to quickly forgive. Because if you don't quickly forgive, it'll damage you. That was all free. I should have thrown a timeout in there. There's a wonderful change, and my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. But not for that, brother. We used to sing a song called "It's a Wonderful New Day." Since Christ came in, it's mighty hard to sing that when you're mad at somebody. Amen. Holding a grudge. See, I can preach like this because I've been there.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to verse number 13. Y'all think it's going to be easy, but it really ain't. Verse number 13 says, "Which were born..." And we're talking about those that are saved, those that have been born again, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. It's a work that God does. It's not a work that we do. It is not of human descent. It's not of blood. My pawpaw, in my eyes, was a great man. He was a drunk that got saved at a Brush Arbor meeting. And he got born again. And out of in my family, if I can just give you my pedigree like Paul did, out of my family, there were three preachers and pastors. The rest of the sons were deacons or music leaders and all active in the church. By the way, my grandparents had 12. One died at birth, so there were 11 left living. Three of the daughters married three preachers and pastors. Out of the grandchildren, I don't know how many, six or eight grandchildren, out of 31 grandchildren, were called to preach. You're looking at one of them. Matter of fact, I'm the baby of 31 grandchildren. And under us and the great-grandchildren, God is still working. He's still calling preachers out of that bloodline. He's still working on my mother's side, godly folks. But my bloodline didn't birth me into the family of God. I grew up in a pastor's house. There was no question about on Sunday morning. I'm not kidding you. There was no question. On Sunday morning, we were going to church. We didn't wake up and say, well, we're probably going to go to the park today. We're going to go fishing today. Nothing wrong going to the park, nothing wrong going fishing, but church needs to be a priority. We never questioned it. My brother's sitting right here. My sister's likely watching online. We didn't question it. We knew we got up, we got ready, we went to church. And thank God for that. And I'm thankful for my godly heritage. And I realized that I was fortunate to be born into a family like that. But me being born in a pastor's home is not what saved me. Because my granddaddy got right with God at a Brush Arbor meeting doesn't mean that all of his bloodline was right with God. We were all born into sin. Had to be born again. But what a day it was when I realized it wasn't about my bloodline. It wasn't about who I was and what I was. It was because Jesus loves me. And he gave his life for my sin. It shows us that it's not of human descent. It's not of blood. And so if you're here this morning and you're trusting in what granddaddy did or what daddy does or what mama did, friend of mine, that will not work either. You must be born again. The Bible goes on to tell us that it was not of the will of the flesh or nor the will of the flesh. It's not of human desire. I can't just up and decide. I can try. I can turn over all the new leaves that I want to turn over. I can leave no rock unturned. I can start over again. I can wake up and say today's a new day. Carpe diem. I love all those motivational things. I love motivational quotes. But motivational quotes and the desire of humans do not save the soul of man. Let me run this rabbit. No, let's leave it alone. It's not of human desire. But we have a whole generation. I guess I do need to address this. We have a whole generation that is the enough crowd. I am enough. I am strong. I am good. No, you're not. The Bible says there are none good, no, not one. Now, which one's right, the Bible or your emotions at that moment? By the way, your emotions have a tendency to change day by day, moment by moment, as do mine. But we have this whole generation that's being brought up with that attitude that they are enough when Jesus says, no, you're not enough. You need me. You're weak. I'm strong. You're broken. I can mend you. You're bound up. I can set you free. Yes. Which one will it be? Scripture? It's not of human desire. Oh, how I wish you could see that your good works and the good opinion of yourself is not good enough to save your immortal soul. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. It's not by human design. The Bible says, nor the will of man, but of God. Did you know that you did not develop the plan of salvation? You didn't develop this.
I heard something yesterday I thought it was rather interesting. I've never really thought about it, and I have studied about the resurrection of Christ, but I heard a man say this. He said, in ancient days, you would not have used women as the first witnesses if the story of the resurrection was a made-up story. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but this country you live in, we kind of the ones that lead the way as far as women's rights goes. Y'all okay? Now, you go back to those ancient days, and they would not have went to Mary, especially not Mary Magdalene. You study about who that little lady was. What God, by the way, I remember the Bible specifically says Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord cast what? Seven devils. So you think about what kind of life she was leading before she encountered Christ. Wait a minute, you mean that God can take someone that was demonically possessed and make them a witness of Him? Yes! That's exactly what Jesus does. You encounter Jesus, He does not leave you the same. You encounter Him, He changes you from the inside and then begins to work outward. You have a new life. Why? Because you're born again. You're born again. You get to start over. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He makes all things new. I've been kind of fighting this in my mind, this little story. There's a pastor, was in Powder Springs. I don't think he gets to preach much anymore. He's not able to. He's got to be in his 90s, but his name's Garland Odom. Many of you know of or know Garland Odom personally. Years ago, he was pastoring a church, and a lady came to his church, and he had won her to the Lord. This lady was a prostitute. There's no other way to say it. She got saved and she stopped the prostitution. Time out. This is not going to be polite preaching, but it needs to be said. The sex industry in the United States of America is still taking lives. In the past couple of years, 33 people that are in the business have taken their lives. What you see is not reality. Y'all okay? This is an epidemic that's got our country by the throat. People are dying and spending eternity away from God so that other human beings can have physical pleasure. God help the church! God help the nation! Still killing people. Depression. You become an object and not what God created you to be. I got a feeling I'm right on cue right now. Let me tell you this. You're not alone. Can I throw some compassion in there? You're not alone. Man, woman, you're not alone. I don't care how deep your secret is, you ain't alone in it. You ain't alone. Y'all okay? I'm going to keep saying it. You're not alone in this. Here's how the devil works. If he can isolate you and get you away from the pack, he will pounce on you and beat you down to where you won't do anything. Friend, you are not alone.
And this is not all there is to life. Jesus said, I came to give them life and that they might have it more abundantly. Man, if you think your life is good now, surrender to Christ and watch how good it really gets. You think you've got everything figured out now? Why don't you relinquish control to Him and watch Him turn your life around and change you and make you into what He created you to be, make you into the man of God or the woman of God that He created you to be. Time in. Let's go back to the story. Y'all thought I forgot, didn't you? That little old lazy, she got off the street. And Brother Odom, he's got it written down in one of his books that he wrote this story, this encounter. And she went and she got another lady. And she brought her to church. And she got saved. And then them two ladies went out to that same corner that they used to work. And they got more girls. And they brought them in there into the church. And they got saved. And before all that was over with, there were 25 less prostitutes on the streets. Because one little lady got born again. What do you think God can do in your life? It ain't always the preacher that reaches somebody. It's not always the one that knows everything about church and how church ought to go. Sometimes it's just a little old sinner that gets born again, gets right with God and says, you know what? God saved me. Let me go tell somebody else about what Jesus done for me. In John chapter number 4, we find a little old lady that had five husbands. And she went and got right with God. You can read it for yourself in John chapter number 4. You come back in a few months, we'll be preaching there eventually. And that little lady said, come see a man which told me all that ever I did. She got right too. It's not human design. It's greater than human design. It's wiser than human design. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways.
Amen.
His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts, says the book of Jeremiah.
That's right.
God is not a man, just a man. God won't abandon you. Some people deal with abandonment. Jesus will not abandon you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll go with you always, even until the end of the world. He'll go with you. He'll be with you. Had it been of human descent, human desire, and human design, none of it would work. But this thing is of God. And as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you will believe Him and receive Him, God says He has given the power for you to become a child of God. Repent and believe the gospel today. Father, in Jesus' holy name, as humbly as I know how, I come to You asking You, Lord, to work mightily. God, I know there are broken hearts in this building this morning. I know it's Easter Sunday. I know we're supposed to be happy. Lord, I also know that there are broken people under the confines of my voice. And I know, Lord, that You have the power and the ability to help them. I know, Lord, that You can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, take this resurrection day and work mightily in the hearts and lives and homes of people. Have Thine own way, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. These altars are open. Would You stand with us while we sing?
Page 373.